This week I was in Eretz Yisrael. I wasn't here, but 2 weeks ago we learned Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, much of Amud Beis. The Gemara explains that they had a system of kashrus that really wasn't foolproof, 100% foolproof. All the shechita was done by Jewish shochtim, and then they would sell the flesh to the nochrim also. So if a Jew would buy flesh from a nochri, he had the right to assume that it's kosher flesh, because the nochrim never shechted anything. All the shechita was done by the Jews. In the event they wouldn't shecht 100 behemoths a day, they had tiny little villages. In the event that one of the behemoths that day would be an avela or a trefa, so they would be machriz. They would announce. So how would they announce it? So the Gemara says, that's what we got up to. It's on Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis. Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis, about 15 lines from the bottom. The last word in the line is Hechi, and the next line begins with the word Machrizina. How exactly do you make a Hachraza? How do you announce, in case one day there is an Avela or there is a Trefa, and they sell it to the Nochri, so how do you announce that all year long everything is kosher, no Nevelas, no Trefa, so you can even, the Jew can even buy flesh from a Nochri? Unless they announce that day that there's something trefa. They didn't have any freezer, so the Nochri is not going to keep it overnight till tomorrow. It's going to sell out all the flesh today. So if they announce today that there's Nevela trefa, so the Jews wouldn't buy from a Goy today. They would buy from a fellow Jew, from a Jewish butcher shop. The butcher would say, I know that it's kosher. They didn't sell me Nevela trefa. It's like, what's the nusach? How do they announce? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, the way you announce it is, Nafal Bisra lebnei Chela. We had to sell some of the flesh today to the non-Jews. Freg di Gemara, why don't you say explicitly, Nafal Trefa lebnei Chela? Why don't you say what you want to say? That today there was a trade for Behema and we had to sell it to the Goyim. The Gemara says no, because then the Goyim, it's going to rub them the wrong way. Then they won't want to buy the trade for either. Because they know that the trade for is a diseased animal. That's why the Jews don't need it, because it's diseased. So the Gemara says, Lozavni. Lozavni. Then the Goyim are not going to want to buy it. So we just announced the day that we had a non-kosher behema, either a trefa or an avela. We announced we had to sell some of the meat today. We sold some of the meat today to non-Jews, and that's a code. That means that some of the meat had it. They don't say we had to sell some of the meat. We sold some of the meat today to non-Jews, and that means in code that some of the meat was not kosher. Freg di gemar v'hokamati luhu, isn't that geneva's das? We're selling the meat to the non-Jews and we're not announcing that it's nevela or trefa. And if they would know that it's a trefa, lo zavni, they wouldn't want to buy it. So that's why we don't announce that there was a trefa today and we had to sell it to the nochem. Because if they would know, they wouldn't want to buy it. So aren't we misleading them? Isn't that genevas das? We're selling them non-kosher meat and we're fooling them into believing that it's not non-kosher. And for the Gemara, we didn't say that it was kosher. Inu dekamate nafshai. No. To Geneva's das means if we fool the other party into believing that we're doing them a toiva. For example, that's what I gave the marshal last week. That's how my wife had a baby, and I walked on Shabbos an hour and a half to visit my wife in the hospital. And then I find out that there's somebody upstairs on the next floor. So I walk upstairs. It takes me 2 minutes. I walk upstairs, and I say to the fellow upstairs, I walked an hour and a half in order to visit you. You should have a refuah shleim. So he's going to feel so indebted to me that I walked an hour and a half. I don't tell him that my wife is downstairs. I walked for my wife. I only walked 2 minutes for you. So if I fool him into believing that I did him a toiva, he will probably want to repay that toiva to me. And I don't really deserve to be repaid for an hour and a half's walk on Shabbos. I deserve to be paid for 2 minutes. I walked upstairs from the 14th floor to the 15th floor to visit this other person. So that's called Geneva's Das. I fool a person into believing that I did him a toiva, and he's going to probably in the future repay that toiva. And I don't deserve any repayment because I never did him toiva. So the same over here. I'm selling, if I fool the Nochri into believing that I'm selling him glatt kosher flesh, that's kosher, not diseased, and I'm not charging glatt kosher prices, I'm charging for regular nevela meat, and I'm giving him very healthy meat, glatt kosher meat, So if I fool them into believing that I gave him a bargain, I'm selling him lot kosher meat for nevela prices, so then he's going to repay the toiv to me someday. So you're not allowed to fool him. If I tell him this is glatt kosher and it really isn't, there's no lifnei iver because he's allowed to eat the treifa, but that's gnei v'stas. But over here, we make an announcement. We sold some of the meat today to non-Jews. We don't say we had to sell some of the meat. We're going to say you had to sell some of the meat. The nochem will understand that we had to sell it because it was diseased, because it turns out that it was a treifa, so they won't want to buy. So we just make a parva announcement. We sold some of the meat to the nochem, and in code that means that some of it was a treifa. So if the nochri makes a mistake, inu dekamatu nafshai, we didn't mislead them. They made the mistake on their own, as we know.
What?
Wouldn't they have caught on to this code?
Apparently not. Yeah, okay. Maybe in Yiddish. Maybe they said it in Yiddish. So the Gemara says, like a Maisa Shehoi, Kihod, the Marzucha, Beid, Rav Nachman, was traveling, from one city to the other. It was traveling. Rav Safra, two younger Talmid Chacham, they were going in the opposite direction, so they bumped into each other. Pogua Hadodi. So he, the older rabbi, Mazucha, Beid, Rav Nachman, thought, oh, they sent two Bachim with the yeshiva to greet me. So he said, well, that was very nice of you. He came an hour's walk, he came to greet me. Husavar, the Talmud Chacham, the older person, thought that the two younger Bachrim, Lapi Hudikosel, he thought that they came specially. And the Maisu Shoy was, no, they were traveling to a different city. They're just the Bimikre. Omalahu, so the older rabbi said to the Bachrim, Lomalahu le Rabbanon. Rabbanon means the Talmidim. Oy, why did the Talmud have to be Matriach? You had to walk so far to greet me. It wasn't really necessary. So they bopped him over the head. Omalei Rav Safas, one of the two brachim, says, Anan l'havi yadina d'kosi mar. We didn't have the foggiest notion that you were coming to our village. Yihavi yadinan, if he would have known, tvei havi tarchina, we would have walked even twice as far. He's telling the truth. He said, but he says, we didn't walk in your honor. Omalei Rav, so Rav told, these were the two who were together. Rav and Rav Safas were the two bachrim who accidentally bumped into the older rabbi, Rav Zutra Beid, Rav Nachman. So Rabbi tells the other one, why do you have to, my time, Armit Lehochi? Why do you have to tell him that we didn't go to greet him? Dach Lishte Ledaita. He thought that we came in his honor, and he's so excited. And then he said, oh, the Bachim didn't have to be Matriach Samash. Now he bopped him over the head. You tell him we didn't even know you were coming?
Right.
If nice, he'd say, if he would have known, he would have walked twice as far. But it does, we didn't come. He didn't come in your honor. Amalei, so Rav Safra tells Rav, you're not allowed to keep still. He's going to think he's going to repay the toivah to us. He's going to give us a copy of his sefer. He's going to let us attend his shir or something. Call Matina Le. But we're fooling him. It's a Gnei V'Zdas. He said, that's not Gnei V'Zdas. He did call Matian Avshe. He made a mistake on his own. We didn't do anything to mislead him on purpose. If I say to the person in the hospital, I walked an hour and a half to greet you, Then I'm misleading him on purpose. So that's Gnei V'Zdas. But if he came to his own conclusions, he thought that I went to greet him, he doesn't realize my wife is there. I'm not mechuyev to correct him. Not mechuyev to correct him.
Rabbi, we initially learned this right before the sedra of Yaakov taking the brachas from Yitzchak. Is that the understanding? It seems that Yaakov was fooling Yitzchak.
Yaakov was fooling Yitzchak. Yaakov didn't want to do it. Yaakov was an Isha Emes, but his mother said, Alay ke l'loscha b'ni. So the Targum Onkelos writes, Alay tamar b'nevuah. She was given a nevuah. The Targum Onkelos always is supposed to give pshuto shel mikra, not supposed to give drushes chazal of Torah Shebal Peh. Targum Onkelos was originally for the young children. When the Malama just gives pshuto shel mikra, Onkelos was a ger, so he had to sit in cheder with the young children. They didn't have anything written. They didn't have any art school. They didn't have anything written. So he had to sit with the younger children. It's not that it wasn't written by Onkelos. That was the traditional translation for beginners of Chumash. So that's how the Targum Onkelos translates. Alay ke l'loscha b'ni doesn't mean if the father curses you, I'll take over the curse. It means it was told to me b'nevuah that you're not going to get cursed. It was told to me, b'nevuah, you have to go through this. It was an Isoyan on the part of Naki. He's known as the Isha Emes, Titan Emes Le'akov. He didn't want to lie, but he had no choice. So he toned down the lies. But he was fooling the father, that's clear.
What price was the Jew giving the treifa to the guy? And the higher price or the lower price?
The lower price. The veiler, yeah.
So wasn't it obvious to the guy every now and then they get a lower priced behemoth?
Jews stopped coming that day.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Good question. I don't know.
Rosh Hashanah, why would they automatically assume that it's a that it's a diseased animal, a treifa? Maybe they should assume it's in the veil. I mean, not if a guy would be so knowledgeable to begin with, but if they already know about treifa, mm-hmm. maybe they also know about
veil. I don't know. And the veil just means that we shot it instead of shechting it. So that's healthy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I just know that here in America and Canada, when people first got very sick, some people died from the mad cow disease. So they wrote in all the newspapers then that if it would have been kosher meat, it would never have happened because they would never have shechted the animal that was sick with the mad cow disease. So they wrote in the papers at that time, in the magazines, many non-Jews started buying kosher meat because they realized that kosher meat is not diseased. The treifas. The treifas are diseased. So they realized if they'd eat kosher meat, they'd be healthier. I don't know, why didn't they catch on? I don't know. Then anymore, so the system that they had, it was not foolproof. It is possible that one day they'll forget to announce, or he didn't hear the hachrozah. And today there was they probably made a hachrozah in shul, probably hung up a sign or something that we sold some meat today to the nochron. That means that there's non-kosher meat, you should only buy from a Jewish butcher who's neman to say that it's kosher, don't buy from a goy. So even though the system is not foolproof, Gemara says you can rely on it. Gemara is going to tell different stories where they did fall in, the system didn't work, but the Gemara says still you have a right to rely on the system. So the Gemara did sell to Maisa. Who tapcha? There were two butchers who didn't get along with each other. They were jealous of each other. He's making more money than me, whatever. Hahu tapcha dom le'lachavri. One butcher told the other butcher, he have his prices, you know, if we would get along, if we would be friends, mi lo sofi loch mishor shal patam da avdi asma. Oh, I shechted a big fat behemoth years ago. They considered fat animals as being healthier. Now people avoid eating fat. So one butcher tells the other, yesterday I shechted such a big fat animal. If we had been on speaking terms, we would have been friendly. You would have enjoyed the behemoth that I shechted yesterday. So he tells him, by the way, I did have some of the behemoth yesterday. I bought it. I bought it. Omalei, achli mishufri shufri. Yeah, I ate from. It was gebaldig yesterday. The flesh was gebaldig. Omalei minolach. Where did you get? You didn't buy it from me. Where did you get it? So he says, dezavam ploini avikachav v'mesafali. A guy bought it from you, and then he sold it to me. Omalei, I'm sorry to hear that. Trey avdi. I shechted two big fat animals yesterday, and they're both very gishmak. One of them was a kosher, one of them was a treifa. And the one I sold to the goy was a treifa. What do you mean? But you didn't announce Nafli Bisra. You didn't announce. So the other butcher, either he fell in and he ate nevela, because the system is not foolproof, or the butcher is telling a lie. Either one or the other. So he says, oi, the butcher, the first one says, Trey Avdi, I shechted two yesterday, Vahahu Treifa Havid, the one you bought from the guy, that was the Treifa one. So the Shaila is, do we have to stop this relying on this system? That all the flesh is geshochten by the Jews, the goyim never shecht anything, the Jews do all the shechita, and then if they don't announce that today there was an unkosher animal, so everybody can buy flesh even from the goy. Omar Rebbe, this story happened during the lifetime of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Omar Rebbe, so Rebbe made a comment, because this moron didn't announce in the morning after Shacharis that today some of the flesh is treifa. We should ask all the butcher shops. No one should buy. We should close down. We should stop the whole system. No, the system is still good. It's in place. Even though we're going to buy from the non-kosher butcher shops, all the shechita is done by the Jews, and just because one day the wise guy, the tippish, forgot to announce that we sold some flesh to the goyim because it was treifa, the system is still good. Today we fell in, but the system is still a good system. It can continue. All the kashrus organizations in America also, they put on labels on the cans. OU, OK, Chofk, whatever it is. And then once in a while, there's a mistaken OU. There's an unauthorized OU on something that's treif. So as soon as they find out about it, so they advertise in the newspapers and they send out emails to all the shuls and so on. So even though once in a while maybe someone falls in, there will be an unauthorized. The companies don't do it b'meisa. They do b'shogeg. They don't realize what all the Rashi Tevis mean on the label. So they put an OUD, or they put an OUD. They don't even know what it means. They thought it's for the deed in the Mahusa or something. So even though once in a while you fall in, but basically the system is in place, and that's why Rebbe says you can rely on the system, because Ruba, the system does work. So Gemara says Rebbe's comment was Litai Mei Rebbe Lushitas Adama Makulam Etapchi Yisrael. If you have goyish butcher shops, but all the shochtim are Jewish, you can even buy flesh from the goyish butcher shop, because all the shechita is done by the Jews, and on a day when there's a treifa on a vela, they're going to announce after Shacharis that today there was a treifa and you shouldn't buy from the goyim. Sure. So that's the first version of the story, that this butcher, Taka, it's true, the butcher had an avela or a treifa, and he didn't follow the rules and regulations, didn't announce. Ikadam, another version has it, that he was just kidding. He didn't get along with the other butchers, so he wanted to rub them the wrong way. So he told him a lie. He told him a lie. Ooh, you must have eaten an avela or the treifa. Yesterday there was treifa. It wasn't true, because he knew what the system is. The system is whenever there's an avela treifa, you have to announce. We sold some flesh today to the goyim, and that means, according to the code, that you shouldn't buy from the goyim. Mikadam, another version has it. Amar Rebbe, not that he said the system is good even though today we fell in, but Rebbe said because of this moron, he wanted to aggravate the other butcher. We should ask the host, the system is good, the system is in place. It's not true. What the butcher said was not true. They were jealous of each other. They didn't get along. Just wanted to aggravate. Sure.
They needed each other.
Yeah.
Because he said he had such a great meal.
Yeah.
And then he said
so he says it wasn't kosher. Yeah, but it's not really true. It was kosher because the system was in place, and if he didn't announce that there was an avodah treifa, that means that everything was kosher.
This the same gemara in the avodah zarah or something.
I don't remember. I don't remember. But that's the same thing like an unauthorized OU. The same is in the days of the Gemara also. They could, once in a while, they could fall in. But since Ruba de Ruba, the system is always gehalten, so you can rely on it. So the Gemara says, Taimed Dechame Litzuri Lechave. The only reason why he was a Shaita was because he just wanted to aggravate him. Halaf Hachi, if he's really telling the truth, then it's Osir. What do you mean it's Osir? You're not allowed to buy from the Goyisha butchers. I mean, if they announced that day that there's non-kosher food, so let's see. The Gemara says, in this case, he just wanted to be mechaben to be mitzayer him. But if he was really telling the truth, then you shouldn't buy from the non-Jewish butcher. But we know Rabbi Yudan Nasi. Before we said Rabbi Litaimei, Rabbi said this system is good. Now all of a sudden, this version of Rebbe's, he said, the butcher was telling a lie. But if it would really be true what he said, that there was a treifa and a vela, then Rebbe would say, you're not allowed to buy flesh from the goyim that day. But Rebbe said, the system is a good system. Mara says, no, but over here, they would have announced that day that there was an avela or a treifa. No one should buy from the non-kosher butchers, from the non-Jewish butchers. This chazik is so. They announced in the morning that day that there's an avela or treifa, so you shouldn't buy. Sure. Good, so that's the end of that Gemara. That's the Gemara. That if you have a system where Ruba de Ruba, the system works out, that you can rely on that. Now the Gemara starts a new topic that a lot of people misunderstand. Rav comes up with a Chiddush, a Basa Shenesalim Min Ha'ayin. What does it mean, Basa Shenesalim Min Ha'ayin? So, Basa Shenesalim means, let's say, I have a backyard, and I have flesh that I picked up from the kosher butcher shop, and I'm cutting it up, I'm salting it, I'm cutting it up in the backyard, and I didn't broil it yet. And then I walk away for a half an hour, and the backyard is locked. No one can get into the backyard. But birds can fly in. So do you have to be concerned that maybe Orvim, in Tanakh, you have the story that the Orvim were bringing Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi had to run away because Achav wanted to kill him. So what did he eat if he's in hiding? So the ravens used to bring him flesh. Where did he get kosher flesh from? Because the Shechet, Achav was an Ovid Avodah Zarah, but the one in charge of his kitchen was an Orthodox Jew. So he had the kosher shechita. So the birds used to deliver flesh all the time to Eliyahu HaNavi. I guess he knew Biruach HaKadosh, he knew Benevuah, that the food was kosher. So you see that there is such an instance recorded in Tanakh. The birds fly with a piece of flesh and they deliver it. So maybe Rav came up with a chumr. I left the flesh, chicken flesh, whatever, I left it in my backyard and nobody came. There's no chashash that any nochri came and took the kosher flesh and replaced it with non-kosher flesh. The door was locked. The people can get in, but the birds can fly in. So since the birds can fly in, you have to be choshish, maybe shema hechlifu. Maybe the birds are so intelligent that they took the kosher flesh, they delivered it to somebody else, somewhere else, and they replaced it with non-kosher flesh. It's a very far-fetched... It is a milsid lo shchichen. So Rav comes up with a, sounds like a chumrah. The Gemara is going to say, we're not so convinced that Rav ever said it. But that's the chumrah that they have. See, in the yeshiva, they have right outside of the base medrash, they have what they call a hefka table. So if somebody has, it's in YU, I don't know, in other yeshivas if they haven't. So when, if someone made a bris, or someone made a shevet brach, and they have leftover flesh or whatever, so they, what are they going to do with it? They're going to throw it out. So they put it on the hefka table. So people think that it's basher shel samanai. Why is it basher shel samanai? There are no animals roaming around in the yeshiva that can switch. There are no birds there, there are no weasels, there are no animals walking around. The only one is there's a nachri, the nachri god. But if the nachri god eats it, it's okay, eat as much as one. You don't have to replace it. No one's counting how many sandwiches there are. You want to eat five sandwiches, eat. You don't have to replace it to others. A nachri is, the Gemara considers the nachma chashudim ala gezel. So nachri is chashud to take the kosher sandwich and to replace it with a non-kosher sandwich. He knows that the kosher sandwich is healthier, and the non-kosher is less expensive, so he's chashud. He's not chashud to do lahachas. That's what Taisus shows from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The nachri is not chashud lahachas. Only chashud if it pays off. If it pays off, if the kosher food is healthier, or the kosher food is more expensive, so he can replace it with non-kosher food, so then you have to be chashud. But if the nachri doesn't have to replace it, it's hefker. Whatever you want to eat, eat kizuntahed, you don't have to replace it. So then there's no chashash. Let's say you have a nachri as a delivery man from a kosher restaurant. So it depends how, I call up the restaurant and say, please deliver a fleishig meal. So he delivers it within 2 minutes. So was it a shaykh that they gave him the kosher restaurant, she really put simonim on it. That she'd have it closed and it wrapped up and so on. Let's say they didn't put simonim on it. But in 2 minutes, what could he do? I called him on the phone and I said what I want them to deliver. So in the 2 minutes, just barely enough time that the goy should bring this sandwich or the meal from the restaurant. He doesn't have time to go to another restaurant, a trefa restaurant, and to buy for less expensive and to deliver the trefa food to me, and he's going to keep the kosher food. He didn't have enough time to do that. It's not a halacha l'moshe m'sinai that whenever a goy delivers food, you're not allowed to eat it. If it's b'chdei she'yasu, if there was enough time, if it took a half an hour, if it took half an hour, and it's possible that the goy kept the kosher meal for himself, and he went to trefa restaurant and he ordered the exact same thing, because I know that I always order from the kosher restaurant. So if there's what to be choshish about, then you're choshish. But if it's only within 2 minutes, he delivers it, there's not enough time to be machlefin.
I think you mentioned once the story with the airplane.
They tell the story on the airplane. Yeah. Strictly speaking,
he went to wash. He had a kosher sandwich.
The Jew ordered a kosher sandwich, and then he went to wash, and he came back. He opened up his package. Then when he came back, he realized that he's not supposed to leave it open. Maybe the guy would be machlif. So he decided he's not going to eat the kosher sandwich. So the guy kept on asking him, where did he go? He says he has to wash until he said that. Then he says, why don't you eat the sandwich? He doesn't want to eat the sandwich. Changed his mind. Kept on asking why he doesn't want to eat. So he finally said, because the rabbi said we're not allowed to eat because maybe someone switched it. So the guy said, how did you know? He did switch it. He wanted to see what kosher food tastes like. That's the story that they say. I don't know. Anochri is choshed ala gezel. Okay, if the...
God be his ruler.
The Gemara has Rav, and there was one city, in that one city it was Rav Ganvei Yisrael. Most of the Ganofim in that city were Jewish, yeah. The Bach writes in one place, Rav Yisrael Ganvei. Most of the Jews are Ganofim. So the later Achranim say, with all due respect, that's not what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says, in a certain city, in Bavel, Rav the Ganofim were Jewish. But the Gemara never said, Rav the Jews are Ganofim. Rav Yisrael are Ganvei. That's what it says in the Gemara. We hope it's not true. That Rav Yisrael are Ganvei. Anyway, so this is Rav's original din, and it's going to be a question, did Rav really say it? And even if he did say it, did we really paskin like this or not? So that's going to be the discussion. Omar Rav, Basar, Kevin Shenesan Menoayin, if you didn't see it for a short period of time, Osar, because maybe Hashem Ha'orvim Hechlifuhu, maybe the ravens, maybe an animal came and switched it. Fegdig Mare Mesvei, what are you talking about? You just said before. You can buy flesh in a non-Jewish butcher shop if all the shechita is done by Jews in the city. All the shechita is done by Jews, we know that. And it's a salmon iron. How can you buy from the goyish butcher shop? Maybe a raven came and replaced the kosher flesh with trefa flesh from a different city. You're right, all the flesh in this city is kosher geshachten by the Jewish shachten. Maybe the animal brought Nevela or Trefa meat from a different city. So how can that system make any sense? Meisvei, Rabbi Yomer, Makulin, you have Goyish butcher shops, V'tapchi Yisob, but all the Shochtim are Jewish, and all the Shechit is kosher. Boshes and Intzobi, Arav Gecholim Mutti, he says you're allowed to buy the kosher meat from the Goyish butcher shop. The Goyim don't have the money to say that this is kosher meat. So maybe the animals came and they switched it. And for the Gemara, no, you don't have to be, you never have to be choshesh that an animal came and switched it, unless no one was watching at all. But if the flesh is in a goyish butcher shop, let's say if the flesh would be in a Jewish butcher shop, so the Jewish butcher would be careful to make sure that they don't, no animals come and switch it. So the goyish butcher shop also is going to be careful, not going to let any animals come in and switch it. Going to have a behemoth come and bring another piece of flesh from outside, from a different location. Not going to let it happen. So just like if you buy from a Jewish butcher shop, you don't have to be concerned. Maybe the animal came and they switched it. So if you can't buy from a goyish butcher shop, everything more. If it's in the hands of a goyish butcher shop, you don't have to be concerned that maybe the orv mechlifu. The goyish butcher was watching that nothing shouldn't happen. Freg di Gemara Toshma, but we have a Beferish Brisa that's quoted in many places in Gemara. Teisha Chanuyas, there are 10 stores. 9 of the 10 stores, Kula Marchus Baso Shchuta. 9 of the 10 stores sell kosher geshacht in the flesh. V'achas Macheres Besar Nevela. V'lokach me'achas mehem. I have non-Jewish workers who work for me. So I'm not allowed to buy Basa B'cholov to give to them. Basa B'cholov is also Bano. So let's say it's my responsibility. I pay them a salary at the end of the day, and I also have to give them lunch. That's part of the deal. Sometimes in the days of Gemara, all I gave was lunch, and I didn't pay any salary at all, if the job wasn't so such a major job. But normally, the understanding was the balabas has to supply the workers with the lunch, and he has to pay them a salary also. So the lunch that he gives them, if they're not Jewish, a lunch doesn't have to be a kosher lunch. He can give them the velus of treifas, but he can't give basa b'cholav. Basa b'cholav is asa b'hanoa. Anything that's asa b'hanoa, I can't give him stam yenam. Yai nesach and stam yenam is asa b'hanoa. Basa b'cholav derais is asa b'hanoa. If it's chicken that's cooked with milk, we learned the Mishnayos that tell me asa b'achila muta b'hanoa. But it's the flesh that's cooked with milk, that's basa b'cholav derais, so that's asa b'hanoa. So, Lokach machas mehem. I went shopping in one of the 10 butcher shops, and now I don't remember that I buy flesh for myself and my family. So I went by to the 9 kosher butcher shops, or did I buy flesh today to supply the non-Jewish workers with lunch for today? And I always buy non-kosher meat for them because they're not Jewish. So I forget myself. Lokach, what does it say? But lokach meachas mehem, and the Jew went shopping in one of the shops. And he doesn't remember. Meiz mehem lokach, he doesn't remember. The odds are 9 to 1 that he bought in a kosher shop, because 9 stores are kosher, and 1 store is nevela treifa. So the odds are 9 to 1. But lokach me'achas mem, I bought myself, and I don't remember if I bought in the kosher or the treifa shop. So the din is sveko asa. You don't say the odds are 9 to 1. You say kol kavua ke machza machza damin. What does that mean? So Rashi and Tosafos explain. There's a pasuk. The pasuk says that one who murders someone else is chayv misa. It says va'arav loy v'kamala b'hikah nafesh. If you plot, if you have premeditated murder, you plan in advance to kill someone, and they warn you, don't murder the man, you're going to get the death penalty. So he's chayv misa. So the pasuk says va'arav loy v'kamalav. He's hiding out. He's waiting and hiding for that person, and he goes and he kills him. So the Gemara, the Mishnah, and Sanhedrin has a machlokes hatanaim. What's the din if this kaven laharagazeh v'haragazeh? I want to kill Reuven. They're all Jewish, so whoever you kill, you chayv misa anyway. But he's a good friend of Shimon, and Reuven he can't stand, so he wants to murder Reuven, and then he missed with the gun, and he killed Shimon. And they warned him in advance, don't kill Reuven. All the people there are Jewish. Don't kill anybody, you're going to get the death penalty. He says, no, I can't stand Reuven, I want to kill him. And then he misses, and he kills Shimon. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. This kaven laharagazeh v'haragazeh, are you chayv misa or not? It's based on how you read the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ki notzu anoshim yachdav." If two people are fighting, and the Gemara says, "Ki notzu is bemitzus shebemitza kasam adaber." They're fighting with each other, intending to kill. Each one wants to murder the other one. V'korva eshes ha'echad, and then the wife comes over to save her husband, and then accidentally, because you're fighting with the husband. So you knocked over the wife because she got involved over here, and she was pregnant, and she loses the baby. So the pasuk says, "Imloya asain." If only the baby, the fetus dies, but the woman doesn't die, so then you have to pay the mevladis. You have to pay how much would it be worth if it would be a shivcha knainis, and you can sell the uber. So how much would the uber be worth to sell on the marketplace? They have to pay the mevlodis. But in Mosin year, but if the woman loses her life, not only the fetus died, but the woman loses her life also, Mosin year, and it's Sata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. So how do you translate that in Sata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh? So the Pashim Pshat is you get the death penalty, even though you're in the Skabin Lahargazeh Vahargazeh. I'm trying to kill a husband. I don't like a husband. Now she came to save her husband. Accidentally, I bumped her over, and not only did she lose the fetus, she lost the pregnancy, but she lost her life. But I didn't want to, I wasn't intending to kill her. So the Pashim Pshat and the Pasik, Vinasat Nebshachas Nefesh, Niskam Lahargazeh, Vahargazeh, Chayv Misa, that's how the Chachamim said. Reb Shimon disagrees, says, no, the Pasik says, V'arav Loi, become a love, Ashi is Kamen Lo, Niskam Lahargazeh, Vahargazeh, Pat. So the Rambam Paskins like Reb Shimon. The Rabbi asked on the Ram, why did they decide to Paskin like Reb Shimon? Yochid V'Rab Malachik Rab, the din should be like the Chachamim. So the question is, but what did the Chacham do with the Pasuk? Sofka Sofka does say, B'arav Loi, become a love. It sounds like you have to be miskavin to kill this particular person. So the Gemara says, no, that goes in this case. Prat Lazarek Evan Lego. If there's a group of people here, and I throw a rock, or I shoot a bullet, intending to kill one of them, and I don't care whom I kill, so the Pasuk says that you're not Chayv Misa. So the Gemara says, well, what's the case? Why are you not Chayv Misa? If all 10 of the people are Jewish and you wanted to kill one of them, and this Kavan Haragazav Haragazav Chayiv, if you hold against Reb Shimon, this Kavan Haragazav Haragazav Chayiv, so why is Prat Lazar Gevin Lego? So it must be that they're not all Jewish. The din is you're not allowed to kill a Nachri, but if you do kill a Nachri, so the din is that you're not Chayiv Misa. So what if, let's say, 9 of the people are Yisraelim and 1 is a Nachri? So they warn him, the odds are 9 to 1 that you're going to kill a Yisrael. So don't shoot. You don't know how to aim, don't shoot. You may kill, the odds are 9 to 1 that you are going to kill a Yisrael. You're going to be Chayv Misa. So that's how they warn him, based on their roif. So that's what the Pasuk says, V'arav Loi, V'kam Alav, even though the odds are 9 to 1 that he's going to kill a Yisrael. So should be considered a Hasra, should be a good Hasra's Vadai. So we say, kol kavua kemachza amachza dummy. If the 10 people are standing still, if the 10 people are walking in a row, I say, I want to shoot the first one, and you don't know who's the Jew and who's the Nochri, so then you say the odds are 9 to 1 that he's going to kill Yisrael. And it is a good Hasra. It is Hasra, Svada. But if they're all standing still, then they're not walking. If they're all standing still, so then there's a strange din. We don't really understand it. This is in Yerideya. This din is the beginning, the end of the first Chelik Yerideya. So every year, Rav Soloveitchik would learn that part of Yerideya. He would give a different suggestion how to make sense out of this din. It never worked. No, he couldn't figure out. I think there's a Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, Malei Adumim. What's his name? Rav Nochum Rabinowitz. He has a degree. I think he has a doctorate in mathematics. I think his doctoral dissertation was to knock sense into the din of Kol Kavuk Machzah Machzadam. But in the yeshivas, we usually assume that it's a Gzeres HaKosav. There's no logic to it. If the 10 things are standing still, so the miut has a chashivas, and I consider it as if it's machzah machzah. Even though the odds are 9 to 1, you don't consider it 9 to 1. You don't go basarab, you say it's 50-50. If they're all moving, the chbishinah din, and I do, the Gemara says if all the 10 people are walking, then the miut does not have such a chashivas. But if they're standing still, then the 1 against the 9 has a chashivas as if it's machzah machzah. So that's the pasuk. The pasuk says, V'yarav lev v'kam alav. It says, if one person murders another because there was premeditated murder, he planned in advance and he was waiting and hiding in order to kill him. So why does it say that V'yarav lev v'kam alav? So Reb Shimon says that it comes to teach me the din, niskaven la'argazav v'argazav is potter. Even though they're both Jewish, you have to have kavanah to kill this person. And the Chachamim disagree and they hold niskaven la'argazav v'argazav yuachayiv, because it says, Mosan yivan asatan nevish tachas nefesh. If you accidentally killed a woman, then you deserve the einish misa because you tried to kill a husband. You were in this covenant to kill a husband and accidentally killed a wife. So the chacham hold that you are chay misa. So this pasuk var of love become a love comes to tell me this din prat the zorek evan the go. If you shoot the bullet, then you throw the evan at a person, and the odds are 9 to 1 you're going to kill a Yisrael, but because all 10 are standing still, the miut is standing still, so it's kavua, so kol kavua has the chashivas like machzah, machzah and yinat chaymis. They ask a kash on the Rambam paskal like Reb Shimon, then this kavan laharag zeva haragah ze is potter. Reb Shimon learns it off in this pasuk, and the Rambam also quotes the din of kol kavua ka machzah, machzah dami. So where is the pasuk? If you hold like the chachamim de Reb Shimon, that this kavan laharag zeva haragah ze is chayv misa, so what does it say? V'or of love become a love. So that the aura of love become a love tells you the din of kol kavua ka machzah machzah. But the Rambam paskin is like Reb Shimon. So where does he have a mocker to say that there's a din of kol kavua? So the Rambam and Sanhedrin breaks his head on that kasha in the Rambam. How can the Rambam paskin both dinim learn that two different dinim, unrelated dinim from the same pasuk? The aura of love become a love. That's a kasha. So this is when is it called kavua? If lokach. There are 10 butcher shops, 9 butcher shops, they sell kosher food, flesh. And 1 butcher shop sells non-kosher flesh. V'lokach me'achas mehem. And I remember I went shopping this morning, and the bag doesn't say which butcher shop it came from. I bought a ton of food, and I don't remember, did I buy the food for the goyisha workers today, or did I have a mind to buy the food for the family? I forgot later on. So I'm looking back at the time that I bought from the store, so all the stores are attached to the ground. So since the suffix, the latest suffix now goes back to the Shas HaMekach, when I bought the meat, did I buy the meat in one of the 9 stores, or the kosher stores, or did I buy the meat in the Trefa store? So then I apply the rule, Sveka Osir, I treat it as if it's a suffix deraisa l'chumra, as if it were 50-50. Even though it's 9 to 1, the odds are 9 to 1, no, since it's Kavua, it's Osir. But that's only if I bought in the store, and now I don't remember which store did I buy. Did I buy the kosher flesh for the family? Did I buy treif and flesh for the workers, for the non-Jewish workers? But however, what if I'm walking in the street? I didn't buy the flesh. I see there's a bag with 50 pounds of flesh in it. And I ask, who bought the flesh? No one knows. It's Hefka. I pick up the flesh, and I don't know. So you don't go back to say, when did the latest Asafi begin? You can't say, which store was it bought in? You don't know which store, but ubenimtzo. But if I find it in the street, and the suffix is the latest suffix was not at the time that it was purchased from the store. I didn't buy it from the store. The suffix is now. Was this bought from a kosher store or non-kosher store? So then you say the odds are 9 to 1. So there's no kol kavua. Then you go basarayv. So that's a brayson. That's a brayson. If you're mesichtes ksubis m'sochem, different mesichtes they quote it. So the Gemara fek takasha, but benimtza, you find the flesh on the ground. Maybe the ravens brought it from a different city. Maybe it's in Gansen Nevela, Treifa from a different city. Who says that you go Basar Rab, the odds are 9-1, that it's from this city? Maybe you found it in the street. And for the Gemara, if we're going to insist that what Rav said is correct, and we're going to insist that this was the din in the days of the Tanaim also, maybe Rav was a student of Rav Yudanas, maybe he invented this Chumer. Maybe he'll agree that in the days of the Tanaim there was no such din. He invented it Mikan al Abod, then there's no Kasha. But the Gemara is assuming that Rav is assuming that the din was always like this. That Boshesh and Salman, you're not allowed to eat, maybe it was switched by the animals. So the Gemara says, so what's Rav going to do with this price? It says, Befresh Benimtza. I'm walking in the street and I find a package of flesh and I have the right to go Basarav. How can you go Basarav? Maybe the Orv Mechlifu. Why aren't you concerned about that far-fetched chashash that Rav came up with? And the Gemara, Hachanami, not Benimtza, not that I found a package of flesh on the ground. And maybe an animal brought it from a different city where there's Nevelis Atrefis. No, there's a goy holding a package in the street, and he says, someone gave me this package to hold, and to the best of our knowledge, it was always held by a person. It was never switched by Orvin. Mm-hmm. So just like we said before, if it's in a goyish butcher stop, you don't have to be afraid. Maybe the animal switched it. So if a guy is holding a package, he says, someone asked me to hold the package for a minute, and they disappeared, they never came back. I don't know whose flesh it is. I don't know whose package it is. So I say, I'll take it. The guy doesn't want it. He's a vegetarian. So I say, I'll take it. So you have the right to go basarab. So the odds are 9-1 that it's kosher flesh. You have a right to go basarab. You don't have to be afraid. Maybe the animal is echlifu because the guy was holding it. And he says, someone gave it to me before. Someone gave me the package before. He doesn't know whether it's kosher, treif, he does not. So you go basarav in such a case. Yeah, the odds are 9-1, yeah. That's a question that's discussed in Mefarshim on Yoreh. They have that. Let's say the 9 kosher butcher shops, each butcher shop sells 100 pounds of meat every day. And the one treif for butcher shop sells 3,000 pounds of meat. So the one treifa butcher shop sells more treifa flesh than all of the 9 kosher butcher shops together. So they go basa roiva the shops, the 9 kosher shops against one treifa shop. The odds are 9-1. But he say no. The odds are for 3,000 to 900
pounds.
So in Shulchan Aruch the commentaries say it's 9-1, even though the one treifa shop sells more flesh than all the 9 kosher shops together. Why should that be so? So that's the whole discussion. Is it so? And why should it, if you hold that it is so, why should it be so? The Gemara doesn't say. The Pashtus and the Gemara, all the 10 shops sell the same amount of meat. But that the Chavis Das came up with that suggestion. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Vaita, they're going to ask another kasha against the Rav. This time it's from a Mishnah. Toshma, there's a Mishnah Machshirin. The Mishnah Machshirin talks a lot about, let's say, a woman had a baby, and she leaves the baby on the steps to the police station. She doesn't want to raise the baby. So you have to figure out, is it a Jewish baby or a Goyish baby? It has no bris milah. The baby was just born 2 days ago. You don't know if it's a Jewish baby or a Goyish baby. So the Mishnah says, you go bus arrive, you have to figure out the women who are of that age. If a woman is 95 years old, let's say there are a lot of old women in the city, a lot of Jewish old women that have an arichas yom, but they're not right to have babies. So they're not bor b'cheshbon. So you have to calculate all the women who are shaykh to have babies, placed between the age of 18 and, I don't know, 50? I don't know, how late can you have a baby? I don't know. So you have to figure out whether the roiv of the women are Jewish or the roiv of the women are goyim. So then the Mishnah has, what if it's machtza? Well, how do you treat the baby? Is it considered Jewish? Not considered Jewish. And then it talks about motza babasar. You have a city where the rest of the population is Jewish or the rest of the population is not Jewish. And then you find flesh in the street. So this is all discussed in the Mishnah. Unfortunately, these dinim apply in Eretz Yisrael. It applies all over. In Eretz Yisrael, there are always women who are raped. So you don't know who raped the woman, whether unfortunately there were Jewish rapists, non-Jewish rapists. So you don't know whether it was an Arab or a Jew. If it's an Arab, if it's a Nochri, then she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. even though she was raped when she was single, even though she didn't want to be mezana, that's a definition of a zayna. If nivala lenachri is considered a zayna, even though it was against her wishes. So let's say you don't know. You don't know whether it was a, you don't know whether it was a Jew or a nachri. So the Mishnahis tell you how you have to paskan in such a case. Unfortunately, these shailas come up all the time in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. So the Mishnah had Machshirin has this din. Matzah b'basar, he found flesh in the city. Haloich acharoiv hatabochim. You find raw flesh that was not cooked. So you try to figure out there are 9 kosher stores and 1 treifah store, or 9 treifah stores and 1 kosher store. So you go b'saroiv. It's 9 to 1, so you go b'saroiv. What if the flesh that you find is mevushal? The flesh is cooked. So then it doesn't help. What does it help? You're going to go b'saroiv, let's say, 9, there are 10 butcher shops in the city, 9 butcher shops sell kosher meat, but the butcher shops don't cook the meat, they sell raw meat. So you have meat that's cooked. So if the goyim bought the meat from a kosher butcher shop and then they cooked it in a treifah pot, then they made a treif. So it's not going to help that it came from the kosher butcher. So if the flesh is raw, you go, but if there are 9 kosher shops and 1 treifah shop, you go bust a 9 to 1, the odds are 9 to 1 that it's kosher. If the flesh is mevushal, then you have to consider the possibility maybe it started off as kosher flesh, but the one who cooked the flesh cooked it in a treifah pot. You have to figure out how many people are vegetarians in the city, how many people will eat flesh. When the people eat flesh, everybody eats flesh. So the people who eat flesh are the rave of the meat-eating citizens in the city. Are they Jewish? So then it's kosher, because 9 out of 10 shops are kosher, and the rave of the population who eats meat are let's say all the goyim are vegetarians, and all the Jews eat flesh on Shabbos and Yom Tov in the middle of the week also. So it's a dead giveaway. Only the Jews cook flesh. So you know that the rave of the people eat flesh are Jewish. But if the goyim also eat flesh, they're not vegetarians, so then you go basa rave, oichle basa.
Is this a din d'oraisa or a d'rabbanim? Because don't we say stam kelim einim b'nei yoma? Therefore, even if a guy would have cooked it, it would be no sintam lufgam, and we wouldn't care. So is this mid d'rabbanim the machmir, or is this a din d'oraisa?
No, the din. We paskin like that. The roif kelim, stam kelim abanochri einim b'nei yoma. Yeah. We paskin that. No sintam lufgam is mut. No sintam lufgam means, let's say, have a pot of soup. And someone put in some chazer schmaltz, and the soup tastes delicious, but it tasted better before they put in the chazer schmaltz. It tasted better without it. So since the chazer schmaltz is less than 50%, and it's poigim mit b'miktzas, if it's not roi lachila, so it's mutter. It's a different story. It is roi lachila, but it tasted better without the treifa ingredient. So that's called nois n'ham l'gam, so it doesn't make treif. So the Gemara assumes that usually, if you cook kosher soup in a treifa pot that hasn't been used for treifas in the last 24 hours, so we assume that the treifa flavor that's going to come out from the pot and go into the kosher soup is going to be poigim the soup b'miktzas. Bizman hazeh, the whole thing doesn't apply, because bizman hazeh everybody uses stainless steel pots. And the stainless steel pots is not bliya at all. So we really have to have an international conference of all the rabbonim. And we have to give a psak on this. We still have 2 sets. We still have 4 sets of dishes. You have fleishig and milchig for Pesach, fleishig and milch for all year long. So, all right. So plates, we understand. But what do you need? Fleishig and milchig. And chametz dik, also fleishig and milchig. Why do you need 4 sets of pots and frying pans? If it's stainless steel, so stainless steel has less blia than glass. Glass hardly has any blia at all. So that's why Sfardim, Rabbi Yosef Karun, the Shulchan Aruch paskens that glass is so little boleya, you're always going to have shishim against the tray for blia. So you can ignore blias and glass. The Ramah is machmer, the Ashkenazim follow the chumer, but we all know that glass is hardly boleya at all. And the stainless steel is boleya less than glass. So that's a shaila. Why do we still observe all the dinim of kashrus on the tray for pots and pans? The tray for pots and pans are all stainless steel. So the asked Rav Moshe b'shaita. Rav Moshe said, you can't take a sif in the Shulchan Aruch and throw it out. No one's throwing out a sif in the Shulchan Aruch. It's a different pot. They're not talking about, they never had these kind of pots. It's a modern thing, stainless steel. And they tested with radioactive isotopes, and they know that it's boleya less less than glass. And glass, also, we know the fact, glass is balea so little. If you cook treifas or you cook fleishiks in a glass pot, then you're going to wash it out and cook milchiks. Now, for sure, you're going to have shishim against whatever fleishik glass is going to come out, because it's hardly balea at all. So that's an issue today. Why we still observe the dinim of kashvis on the treifa pots, if we know that if it's a stainless steel pot, this kemat bliz is mamish and mashu. Yeah. So in the days of the Gemara, days of the Shulchan Aruch, there was such an assumption. The stam kelim areinim bnei yomon, and if the treifa kli is einim ben yomo, and I'm cooking kosher soup in the pot, so the treifa bliya that was absorbed in the pot, if there was a treifa bliya absorbed in the pot, if it's sitting in the pot for 24 hours, it's going to become levgam. The charsus agdeir, the metallic flavor of the pot, or klicheres, the klicheres flavor of the pot, is going to be poigem the bliya in the pot, so that when the bliya goes into the soup that I'm going to cook today, it will taste delicious, but it would have tasted better if I wouldn't have had that bliya. It's poigem it b'miktza. So then all you need is roiv. You don't need shishim in such a case. You have shishim as a upkeret, avad is kosher. But even if you don't have shishim in the heter against the yisr, as long as you have roiv, so that the din of tam kika doesn't apply. So we usually assume in a restaurant, you have no right to assume stam kelim enim yoma. In a restaurant, they have the same frying pan. They serve one customer after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other, all day long. They keep on using the same kelim over and over and over again. Some rabbanim think that's halacha. Stam kelim enim yoma. In a restaurant, it doesn't apply. It only applies in a private home. The goyim don't cook every single day, five times a day in the same kli. They don't cook all the time. So you assume that if you don't know one way or the other, if you can't find out, so you assume stam kelim are probably enim yoma and it does nas. You're right. Halacha lemaisa would nas. Halacha lemaisa. But that was a big machlokes in the days of the Tanaim. Is that true? The nois and tam levgam is mutter. We paskin this machlokes and Avodah Zarah between the Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Where the nois and tam levgam is also a mutter. If you mean if you poured in chaz shmaltz in a pot, and everything tastes delicious, but it would have tasted better if you wouldn't have poured in the chaz shmaltz, and you have roiv against the chaz shmaltz. So we paskin that it's mutter. That's called nois and tam levgam is mutter. But the word Tanaimu held the Mishnais that told that nois and tam levgam is also. It's a big machlekes in the days of the Tanaim. If a goy cooks it, it's bishal akum. It's also a treif. Even if everything is, even if all the food is kosher, if a goy cooked it, it's going to be bishal akum. That is right. That is right. Even if all the food is kosher, but the goy cooks it, makes it bishal akum.
So what about plates? I mean, plates. All the plates that I've seen ever, you know, they cannot, you know. People lay more than 1/60 of the volume of soup that you can put in the plate.
The one?
There's going to be a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a gram, even with china and things like that, that's inside.
Yeah, our china is glazed. So just like glass is not balea, so if it has a coating of glass, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out, it's probably also not balea. The glass coating probably prevents the china from being balea. But because we're not sure, so we're machmer, even on china that's glazed, then maybe it is balea. We're machmer on all these things.
We're not sure whether it's 1/60th or not, or we're not sure whether it's...
We're not sure maybe it is balea so much, treifas, so that when I'll put in kosher food next time, maybe there'll be enough treifas that'll come out from the thickness of the walls of the plate, and you won't have shishim in the soup. Can I get the treifa bliya that'll come out from the walls?
But what if I do, like, a physicist does an experiment and they see that it's not one?
That's how they test with radioactive isotopes. Yeah. So a lot of times they do the test and they see that the pots today are hardly balea at all. Mashu de mashu. They're hardly, but because they're all stainless steel. Or because they're glazed. We know the glass is hardly balea. Stainless steel is balea less. And the glazed china is also hardly balea at all. Well, usually machman these things. If you have a hefsid moment, then you got to figure out. It's dodim lahakim. Yeah. So the Gemara is asking all the kashas on the assumption that Rav wasn't inventing a new chumrah out of his own head. He thought that this chumrah existed in the days of the Tanaim. Otherwise, if he's making up the no chumra, so how can he ask him kashas from Mishnayos? He's making no chumra mikana lahabo. So they were assuming that Rav held that this was always the din. You always have to be concerned. Maybe the behemoths came and they switched it. Preg the Gemara. Let's see. What do you do with that Mishnah in Machshirin? Why aren't you concerned that maybe the animals came and they switched it? Yeah. V'chitayim, maybe you'll answer, Chanabi b'nim tzibiyarov kecholim. You'll say, no, not that you found Motza Babasar, had the first line in that Mishnah Machshir. Motza Babasar means I live in a city where there are Jews and non-Jews living in the city. And sometimes the rov, the population is Jewish, sometimes the rov is not Jewish. So Motza Babasar means I found a package of flesh on the ground, or there's a guy holding onto a package of flesh and he gives it to me. He says, I don't know whose it is, you can have it. So the Gemara says, the guy is holding on to it. So the guy is holding on, so you should not be concerned. Maybe the behemoth switched it. A person is holding and he probably got it from a person before him who was holding on to it. When a person holds on to it, the behemoth can't switch it. The Chitayim, you're going to answer me that the Mishnah Machshim doesn't contradict Rabbi, because so Freg the Gemara. So how does it say if it's Mavushal, if you find flesh that was cooked, you go baser rive of the people, you don't go baser the rive of the butcher shops, the 9 kosher butcher shops, was 1 trefa butcher shop. What does it help the 9 kosher butcher shops? You have to figure out who cooked it. And if it's cooked by goy, then it's going to be bisholakum. Forget about the trefa, then it's going to be bisholakum, yeah? So the Gemara says, so how can you say, Mavushal, how do you read the next one? Mavushal halachach, rive achle baser, but if you're talking about a case that the goy is holding onto it, so the guy's holding on to the food, so it's bisholakum. You know that he cooked it. Nechzi dav kuchav nakele edison nakele. Who's holding on to the flesh? So the Pashup Shad and Mishnah Machshir, no one's holding on to the flesh. There's a package of cooked flesh that you find on the ground. No one's holding on to it. So if no one's holding on, what does it help that in this city, the Roiv are Jewish, and it's Bishal Yisrael, and the Roiv are Kosher, but maybe the behemoths bought it from a different city. Maybe the birds, maybe the ravens bought it from a different city. And for the Gemara, we're talking about a rare case of Hochmaskina, but Amid Verev. Someone was watching it the whole time. I was watching the way someone bought it from the store, and they were standing in the street, and he left it in the street, and he walked away for 5 hours, and I'm still there. No one picked up the package. I was watching the whole time, and the Orvim never came. No animals came to switch it. A rare case. It doesn't sound like that. The Pasha Bishan, the Mishnah, doesn't sound like that at all. All the Mishnais and all the prices that they're quoting seem to contradict Rab's din of Basa Shem Samarain. So the Gemara gives a Shver Ukim Tepshat. The Gemara kvetches. Maybe all the cases are talking that someone's holding on to it the whole time, or someone was watching it the whole time. Then the Gemara says, Toshma, the Mishnais and Shkolim. There are a series of Mishnais and Shkolim. If you find a behemoth roaming around in Yerushalayim, Yontif season. So a lot of people come to be Ola Regal. So if you find a behemoth roaming around, if it's a male, do you assume that it's an Ola? If it's a female, do you assume it's a Shlamim? Or do you assume that it's a Chulin? So the Mishnais tell you what season of the year you should follow the majority, whatever the probability is. What if it's not that you found the flesh in Yerushalayim? Nimtza b'gvulin, somewhere far away from Yerushalayim. Nimtza b'gvulin. So what did you find? Did you find lamb chops that were cut the way people would normally slice lamb chops to eat it? Or do you find an animal that was ripped apart, the limbs were ripped apart, that's not normally the way you cook it when you're going to prepare it for eating? So if nimtza b'gvulin, it was not that you found the flesh in Yerushalayim. The Mishnais talk there, you find live animals, and you find slaughtered animals in Yerushalayim, Yontav time, Chalamoid time. What should you assume? What's the probability? And now it says, Nimtza b'gvulin, if you find flesh far away from Yerushalayim, if it's Evarim, if you see that they ripped apart an animal, and they didn't slice it like one would prepare it to eat it, you should assume that it's Nevelos. It's probably Nevela, and people are going to throw it in the garbage because it's going to be Metame. Nevela, not only Nevela, also Bachilas, they feed it to the dogs. But it's Metame you. If you're going to handle it, it's going to cause you to become Tame. So that's why they wanted to throw it in the garbage to dispose of it. But if it's Chaticha, but if you see that it was sliced properly like lamb chops, someone was preparing it to cook it and to eat it, So then we go basaroy, and you say mutar. So the shadow, it's talking in Eretz Yisrael, but everybody's kosher. It's hard to find Eretz Yisrael today also. Most of the flesh in Eretz Yisrael is kosher. It's hard to find tray for flesh in Eretz Yisrael. Chazer is even more difficult to find. And to find the Veilus of Trev is also difficult to find. So that's what the Mishnah says. You go basarab and you assume if it's chatichas, it's mutaris. But if it's avarim, they just ripped apart the animal limb for limb, so it's probably an avela. And that's why they ripped it apart like that, because they wanted to dispose of it. So the eskakasha, but Rav came up with his chumrit, basar shalom and ayin. What do you do with Rav's chumrit? Doesn't it contradict the Mishnah in Shkolim? V'chitayim, are you going to give me the same dechik teretz that you gave on all the other Mishnah, sachanami baimid v'ra'ehu? You were watching it the whole time, and you saw that someone was holding the whole time, and no one put it on the ground, so there was no possibility from an animal to switch it. So if you were watching it the whole time, evarim nevelus amai. So why should it be, if it's ripped up to pieces, why should you assume that it's nevelus? If you were watching it the whole time, and the rave of all the flesh is kosher, so it's probably also kosher. Everything more, you're right. Rab says, Rab disagrees with the Mishnah, even though the Mishnah says that what? Evarim is nevelus, midi hutam el Rav, itmar lo, Rab mutoris, Rab says, mutoris mishum nevelus. What's, Rab holds a what? That there is an isa nevelus, just not mitame. They're just, what does he say? Mutoris mishum nevela. How does Rashi explain? It's asa bachila because basar shalom salmon ayin. Rav learns the Mishnah there that it's asa bachila. Just it's mutoris mishum nevela. There's no tumas nevela. And Levi says mutoris bachila. It's mamish muta bachila. So it sounds like it's machlokes. Rav and Levi, is there such a din of basar shalom salmon ayin? Rav holds min adin, but Levi doesn't agree. Levi says, you go basarav, and it's muta bachilu also. And Rav came up with this chud chidish, that basar shel salmanayin, you have to be concerned about the far-fetched chashash, that maybe an animal came and switched it. Sure. So this is, the Gemara is assuming that Rav said this. And now the Gemara adds on, and by the way, hoda Rav, this chidish that Rav holds, that basar shel salmanayin, you're not allowed to eat, he never formulated it explicitly like that. There was a Maisa Shahaya, and we inferred from the Maisa Shahaya that this is Rab's opinion. Maybe we inferred incorrectly. So Gemara is going to tell the story, and what the inference is. Well, the Rab, this position of Rav, that he holds you're not allowed to eat basas and asamanai and labifarish itmar, he never said it explicitly, el mechlolo itmar. We figured it out on our own based on something that Rav did. The Rav Havi Yosef Amavra di Ishtatis, there was a river, the Ishtatis River, okay, the Hudson River. And he was going on a, there was a bridge to cross over, or a ferry. What's a mavra? Not sure. Mavra sometimes a bridge, sometimes a ferry. So he was near the bridge. Chazya lehu gavra, he sees a man, the habikom mechaver reisha. The fellow obviously shechted the behemah, and he wanted to wash out the head of the behemoth. There's a lot of blood there. So before you start to salt it, to remove all the dam, you want to wash out all the dam that's obvious there. So he wants to wash it out. The river is flowing water. So he's holding the head in the river. Nafal minei. So he dropped the head in the river. So how's he going to get it out? He's going to jump in. So he went to get a basket and to lower the basket. Ozalaisi sal silta. He went to get a basket, a sal, in order to lower it. Shada, he throws it into the river. Asik Trey, so he pulls up two heads. He gets two heads. So he only dropped one head in. So the other head came from somewhere else. Maybe floated from a different location. Maybe from a different city. And maybe it's an avail or a trefa. The head that he dropped was kasha. But the other head is a trefa. Oh my Rab, so Rab made a comment. Avdi Nami Hochi, this is normal. That you drop one head in the river and then you put a basket and you get two heads. So he said, you're not allowed to eat it. So from this story is Araya, the Rav holds, Basar shalom ayin is also. How do you know? Let's see the rest of the story. Amri le Rav Kana Rav Asi. So the students of Rav asked them, Amri le Rav Kana Rav Asi le Rav. So they asked the Rebbe, the Isur Shchichi, the Teru lo Shchichi. Why are you asering? He dropped one head, so one head he knows was kosher. Then he found another head. So what's the raif? The Mishnah said you go basa raif. So what's the raif in the city? So Rav says the raif is nevelus a treifa. So they said why? The isura shchichi, it's more common nevelus a treifa than tera lo shchichi. Isn't it more common to find most of, all the shchita was done by Jews, and there's hardly any nevelus a treifa. If you know something is nevelus a treifa, okay. But if you don't know, you should go basa raif. Amalu, so he tells him with a straight face, yeah, the isura shchichi tvei. It's more common to have treifa and nevela than to have kosher. Shine. So because of that story, you see, the Rav Hold Basra Shlomer Ayin is awesome. Why? Could, why did, but in that city, the Rav was kosher. So what does Rav afraid mean? Rav obviously is afraid. Maybe it rolled in the river from a different city. So Yechoshish maybe came from a different location. In this city where he lived, Rav was kosher. So that's that. Based on this story, you see that Rav holds that opinion. That if you weren't watching the whole time, and someone was not watching the flesh the whole time, then as Rav is concerned, maybe he came from another city. Freg di Gemara, okay, what was the significance of saying, whenever you say, Achachm gave the psak, and we said, but he never really said that psak. We inferred it based on something else that he said or that he did. So what's the difference whether you inferred it or he said it explicitly? So obviously, sometimes if it's only mechlola, it's not beferish, so maybe your inference is incorrect. So the Gemara asks now, how can you reinterpret Rav's position over here? Feg the Gemara, the mechlola mai, so what if you're inferring it? Well, it's a good inference. Don't you see that that's Rav's position? Even though the rov of the people in the city are kosher geshacht and eflesh,
but it came from a different city.
You see that Rav is concerned, maybe it came from another city.
Yeah.
So Gemara says, no. Maybe the inference is incorrect. Maybe that Maisha Shahaya was Parvasa Dav de Kachavim Havoy. Maybe that day, maybe that was a port where there were a lot of Goyim brought boats there. And the rive of the flesh that day was Parvasa of the stores or Parvasa of the marketplaces. So maybe that day the Rav was going. You can't infer from here that Rav holds Yechoshish for the far-fetched possibility. Maybe he came from another city. Teda proof is he's not talking about a far-fetched chashash. Because Rav said to the students when they asked them why is it asar, they said the isur is shchichet tvei. He says the Rav is that it's treif. He didn't say there's a far-fetched miut possibility. Maybe he came from a different city. He says the Rav is that he came from treif. Right. So the Gemara says, we're not so convinced that Rav ever said it. Yeah, here there's a Bir Agro on Yerideya over here. Where is this? I forgot already which Simon it is. I think it's Simon Ayin or something. Of this din, Basash and Asala Minho Ayin. Where is it? Yerideya. Simon Samach Gimel. I don't think that's where it is. Anyway, in Yerideya, on this din of Basash and Salman Ayin, so the Vilna Gaon talks about the Rambam Shita. So he has a fascinating line. Every so often there's a problem with the Rambam doesn't seem to paskin like the Maskanas HaGemara. Every so often the Rambam paskin is against the Gemara. So how come? So the Lech Mishnah, the Magi Mishnah, the Kesem Mishnah, the Mishlam El, they all stand on the head, they break their heads to figure out how did the Rambam come up with such a Maskanah. So the Vilna Gaon has one solution on many of these difficult Rambams. He says, "Kedarka lipsa kahayrisham and neged habavli bekama mekaymus." The Rambam often, you can't say most of the time, he paskalaks the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. That's the riff in the end of Erev in has like that. There's a contradiction between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. So the riff writes, whenever there's a contradiction, we paskalak the Bavli, because those who wrote the Talmud Bavli were in a later generation after the Talmud Yerushalmi, and they knew everything that it says in the Yerushalmi. So if they say Fakaret, we say Hilchos HaKebasroi. They took into consideration everything that it says in the Yerushalmi, and they paskan Fakaret, so we pass like that. So that's a question, is that really true? It is true that the Bavli was written later than the Yerushalmi. That is a fact. The Yerushalmi was written by the students of Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan was the first generation of Amoraim. He learned by Rabbi Yudon Nasi. His Talmidim was the second generation. The Babli was several generations later. The Babli, Rabbi Yudon Ravashi, was a few generations later. So that part is true. But is it true that the Chachmei HaBabli were aware of everything that it says in the Yerushalmi? Who says that that's true? So they bring a raya that there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Rif doesn't prove his point. He just makes the statement. He says the Bavli was written later, and they were aware of everything that it says in Yerushalmi. If they say Faker, we say Hilchos Kabasra. They took everything into consideration and they passed on Faker. Who says that they knew everything that it says in the Yerushalmi? So they bring a raya to the Rif that they knew, because the Gemara says in the middle of Sanhedrin around Daf Memvava, so Memvava and Mebeis, the Gemara says there was once a story, and the Gemara alludes to the story. This story never appears in the Talmud Bavli anywhere. About a Jew who was a gangster, and he used to collect taxes. The government used to sell the right to collect taxes, and the tax collectors would charge five times as much. And they'd make a fortune of money. They'd keep 80% of the money for themselves. The king said how much money he wants, and he gave permission to this person, sometimes a Jew, sometimes most of the time a non-Jew, to collect as much taxes as he wanted. The guy would collect five times as much taxes as he had to give to the king, so 80% he kept for himself. He's a ganef. He has no right to take so much money. He has a right to charge a little extra because he's collecting the taxes, not to charge an outrageous amount. So the Gemara says there was a maisa with Baya Muchse. Mr. Baya, a Jewish person, was the Muchas, he was the tax. So what's the story? So the Gemara never tells the story. So Rashi has a long... So Rashi tells you the whole story appears in the Talmud Yerushalmi. So from the fact that the Gemara alludes to the story and doesn't tell you what it is, obviously, the Chachmei HaBavli knew everything that it says in the Yerushalmi. So others say, Ve'ezok, that they knew, maybe the stories they knew. The stories were floating around in the air. Everybody heard the stories. Just because they referred to a story, an incident, a Maaseh Shoah, doesn't mean that they knew everything that it says in the Yerushalmi. So many books were written on that topic. Is it really true what the Rif wrote, that the Chachmei HaBavli were aware of everything in the Yerushalmi? But usually that is the rule, that whenever there's a conflict between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, we pass on like the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. That's the Rif in the end of Erevin. So the Vilna Gaon says, but the Rambam often will pass in less than half the time, but the Rambam very often will pass on like the Yerushalmi against the Bavli. And we know that that's a fact. The Rambam a lot of times passes Yerushalmis against Bavlis. The Ravid is masking on them. Where did he get this from? And then Mefarshim says it's an often in Yerushalmi that contradicts the Bavli. So here also, the Bavli quotes that Rav hold that Bosses Shem Salman Ayin is Aser, and the Yerushalmi says that it's Mutter. So the Rambam writes that it's Mutter. The Rambam leaves out this whole thing.
Because yeah. The Bavli, because there's more arguments in the Bavli than in the Yerushalmi. Right? In other words, the Yerushalmi comes to more specific. That's
I don't know. The Rif doesn't give that reason. The Rif says we pass on like the Bavli because the Bavli was written later, and they were aware of everything that it says in the Yerushalmi. And if they decided against it, so since they took that into consideration and they passed on against it, so we say Hilchos Kibasroi. That's the explanation the Rif has. Maybe you're giving a different explanation, but the Rif gives that explanation. So the Gemara claims. The Gemara, the Bavli, is still sticking to this suggestion. The Rav holds, Bosa Shana Salman Ayin is also. There's room to Dingzach that he never said it. There's room to Dingzach that day, the Roiv of the Flesh and the city was Bazgoyim. But maybe he would never be concerned about a far-fetched Chashash. Maybe an animal brought it from another city. But they're working on the assumption that that's what Rav said. So, for the Gemara, so how can Rav ever eat flesh? What, people are always watching the flesh? Balbosta goes to shul, to daven, on Shabbos morning, so she's not watching the flesh. So maybe a behemoth came and switched all the flesh. It's not pious. It's not humanly possible that someone's watching the flesh. Freg di gemara, la rab hech yochal bisra. How can you ever eat any flesh? It's impossible that someone should be watching. And for the gemara, a few answers. Either b'shaite de la alemeni minei, right after the shechita, when everybody's watching, he would eat. If they would broil it right away, he would eat it. Shy. But if it took a couple of hours later, he wouldn't eat the flesh. Ooh. That's one suggestion. Or he buy same. Or perhaps if he wanted him to give another answer, if it's tzaira v'chasuma, if the flesh is tied up in a package and has a chosim on the side, and it says this is glatt kosher, so it can't be that the behemoth brought it from another city. It's tied up the same way I left it. Vi nami another answer. Bisimona. Maybe he has a siman on the flesh. He cut the flesh in such an unusual manner, and he knows that this is the way he has a siman to identify the flesh. is there such a thing that people make a siman on the flesh that they should be able to identify? Gemara says, yeah. Gihad de Rabba Bar Avuna mechatech le'atlas karnasa. He used to cut it like hamatashim with three corners. We don't, normal people don't cut flesh in triangular shapes. So one of the chachamim always made triangular shapes that no one should be able to steal his flesh. He always has a siman, that's my flesh. No one else cuts it in such a funny way. Yeah, that's a discussion in Bava Metzia. There's a discussion when you find an Aveda, so you have to how does the person identify that it's his Aveda? Let's say the yeshiva is learning Sukkah this year, so there are 1,000 copies of Gemara Sukkah. So a guy lost his Gemara, he doesn't have his name in the Gemara. So another 1,000 students, there are 1,000 Gemaras that say, if it has your name in it, so obviously it's not his. Okay. But there are probably at least 100 Gemaras that no one wrote their name in. How are you going to identify that that's your Gemara? See, if you scribbled something in the back, you wrote a Shtikl Torah on the side, on Daf Tzadik Vav. Okay, so only one Gemara in the base Medrash has a Shtikl Torah written on the side. Or you underlined something in the Rosh, or you underlined some checked or something in the Ran. Okay, so you have a Simon. You're going to say, you underlined something over there, that's a Simon. So the Gemara has a discussion. There are three levels of siman. There's siman muvak, siman muvim is echad bin eyalav. One in 1,000. The Gemara talks about simanim. How do you identify that you're the owner of the aveda? How do I know that you're the one who lost the aveda? Maybe someone else lost it. The Gemara has the same discussion. A woman is married and the husband is missing, and we're afraid that someone killed him. And then you found a dead body. And the body, he's tall and thin. Her husband was tall and thin. Half the people in the world are tall and thin. Half the people are short and fat. Half the people are tall and thin. One quarter are tall and thin. One quarter are tall and fat. One quarter are short and fat. One quarter are that. So that's not a simon. You tell your husband, he's saying, no, husband was tall and thin. He wore glasses. Every other person wears glasses. Can't everybody wears glasses. So it doesn't ishkin simon. He had a pair of tefillin with him. Well, religious Jews have a pair of tefillin with him. So well, what's the doesn't ishkin simon? So what's the simon? So let's say her husband had 6 fingers on the right hand and 4 fingers on the left hand. How many people have 6 fingers on the right hand? That's echad mini elf. Echad mini elf. So that's a simon moving. So that's a good, that's lochalodes. That's a perfect simon. You can be mater and isha. If the woman's husband disappeared, and we know her husband had 6 fingers on the right hand and 4 fingers on the left hand, or the DNA. DNA, no one in the world has the same DNA as fingerprints. You find the fingerprints. That's the Hasimim Muvik. No one else has the same DNA, the same fingerprint, or the same dental. You can identify a dead body based on the fillings that you have in the teeth. Okay, so that's a Simen Muvik. Echad Mini Elef is a Simen Muvik. Then you have a Simen Garua. You say the husband was tall and thin and he wore glasses. There, a lot of people have tall and thin, they wear glasses. That doesn't mean anything. It was male, as opposed to female. Half the people in the world are male. And then they're tall and thin, half the people are tall and thin. It doesn't mean anything. And then you have Simon Beinoni. You have a Simon Beinoni, it's not Echid Mini Elef, but it's a good Simon. Let's say he had a scar over here and he had a scratch over here. So that's a Simon Beinoni. So the Gemara has a Suffolk. How strong a Simon does it have to be that it should be acceptable on the level of the Raisa to give back the Aveda, and on the level of the Raisa to permit the woman to remarry? If the husband is missing and you think maybe someone killed him and you find a dead body and it has the scar over here and the wart over there, so do you have the right to rely on a Simon Beinoni? So the Gemara has a suffix where the Simon Beinoni is acceptable minotaur. So by Hashavas Aveda, the din is that you do give back an Aveda, even with the Simen Beinoni. But the Gemara is not sure, is that a Din Daraisa, or is that a Takana Derabanan, based on Hefke Bez Nehefke, and Dini Mominus, they can make any Takana they want. They can just say Hefke Bez Nehefke, and there's no Gzela. Why should they want to make such a Hefke Bez Nehefke, that you should give back an Aveda with the Simen Beinoni? So the Gemara says, everybody would probably want that. If you would lose an Aveda, you're not going to have a Simen Muvik, you would be happy if you would get it back with the Simen Beinoni. So even if once in a while it's going to work against you, by mistake they'll give your Aveda to someone else based on a Simen Beinoni, but most people will want such a Takana. So the Gemara says, Halacha Maisa, bottom line, you give back an Aveda with a Simen Beinoni, but we're not sure whether it's a Din D'Oraisa, Din D'Rabbanan. Maybe it's only Din D'Rabbanan based on Hefke Bez Nefke. But by Meis Baila, to allow the woman to remarry, that you have to have a real right. Simon that's good on the level of Raisa. So they were Machmeini, the Simon mover. So the Mefarshim have a discussion. The whole din of Bosher and Samanayin is only the Rabbanon, if at all, if you hold from it. It's only with the Rabbanon. So maybe since the whole Chashash of Bosher and Samanayin is only a Chashash from the Rabbanon, so maybe it could be Mekel that a Simon Beinani would be good enough. So that's a big discussion in Achrayim. If the whole issue that you're coming to resolve is only an issue of the Rabbanon, maybe you say, hey, Mamru, hey, Mamru, so maybe Simon Beinani is sufficient. Maybe you don't need a Simon, maybe you only need a Simon Murek by Meis Bailo. So others say, no, the issue of Kashrus, Nevela, is an issue there. I say, here the Chashash is only the Rabbanon. Let's say, what would you say? Let's say, Maim Sheila himself. Let's say, the woman is married and the husband drowned in the ocean. And everybody was standing in the Coast Guard, they're trying to save his life, they couldn't save him, and he drowned, but they couldn't retrieve the body. So they never got back the body. So there's a far-fetched chashash that maybe there's Maim Sheishla himself and Maim Sheishla himself. Maim Sheishla himself means there's a lake, and you stand on the side of the lake, you can see all the edges of the lake. We're standing there for an hour, 2 hours, and the husband didn't come out. So we know that he's dead. That's called Maim Sheishla himself. Maim Sheishla himself means he drowned in the river, in the ocean, and where you are standing, you cannot see all the edges of the ocean, all the edges of the river. It goes on and on and on forever. You can't see it. So there's a far-fetched chashash that maybe the husband swam under the surface of the water, maybe came up on the other side of the river and you didn't see it. Maybe he's still alive, you didn't see. So Minat Torah, when you have Maim Sheila himself, we assume the husband is dead. For sure he's dead. They made a chumer midrabbanon that Maim Sheila himself, the wife is not allowed to remarry. Achranim explained they didn't really make a chumer midrabbanon. They didn't really make a chumer mid rabbanon. They meant it should take longer for the rabbanon to be mekel. He should have to kvetch longer. It should take another week till they come up with tzadim lahakel, because you have a double roiv. If you have trei rubi, then you are mekel. Let's say a ma'aseh shehaya. In the days of Rab Chaim Volozhin, a man was walking on a bridge going across a river from one side of the river to the other, and all of the river was iced over. A lot of times the river is iced over, you can drive a tractor on top of the river and you can drive an automobile and it's not going to fall in because the ice is so thick. So the husband was walking, the bridge was like 4 or 5 stories above the ice. Then his husband slipped on the bridge and he fell down head first, and he probably got killed from the brain concussion, falling into the ice. It was so hot. And then his head went through the ice, and the whole body went through below the ice, and he couldn't retrieve the body. So that was the case. That's Maim Sheila himself. He didn't retrieve the body, but you have a double rive. This one rive, he probably got killed from the impact when his head hit the ice. If you would fall on the concrete, you would get killed. And even if he didn't die by falling from the impact, he drowned. Yeah. So whenever you have that, in Eretzel also, when the submarines disappeared, so there always a trei rubi, there's always a double rubi. Rabbi Gorin used to be mekel on this. Not Rabbi Gorin. Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan was yadua that he was mekel on the trei rubi, and from Chaim Volozhin, they were always mekel. All the poskim were always mekel. It wasn't Rabbi Gorin's chiddush. So the shaila is, if you have Maim Sheila himself, so the whole chumra is only mid the Rabbanon. And Torah, we know the husband is dead. We all know the husband is dead. The whole thing is only a chumra mid the Rabbanon. So what if you have a simen amtsoi on the husband? Do you need a simen muvak over there? You have to have 5, 6 fingers on the right hand and 2 noses or 3 eyes. You have to have such a simen muvak. Echad mina elef. Maybe since on the level of the Raisa, she is mataris lehinase. But Maim Sheila himself, it's only a chumra mid the Rabbanon. So maybe simen beinani is enough. So that's a big machloikas. The Beis HaLevi has about that, and the Chiddush HaRim has in the Tshuvas of the Rim, and the Pischei Tshuva in Ebenezer quotes a big machloikas about that. So the Beis HaLevi was Neita Lahachme. He said, it's an issue deraisa whether the woman is an Eish Tzishanat. The Chashash over here happens to only be Medirabbanon. On the level of deraisa, we know that he's dead. The whole discussion is only Medirabbanon. But the issue we're debating is an issue of the Raisa. It's not that you're talking about Bishul Akam, that the whole issue is the Rabbanon. You're trying to identify, is this the flesh that was cooked by the Jew? Is this the flesh that was cooked by the non-Jew? And the worst it could be is Bishul Akam, but it's kosher food. So then maybe Simen Amtsoy is good. But here, discussing whether the woman is an issue Sish or not. The woman is an issue Sish, is an issue of the Raisa. The Chashav happens to be in the Rabbanon. So that was a big machlokes. Do you say Heim Amru or Heim Amru? If the issue is only the Rabbanan, so you can rely on Siman Emtzoi. What if the issue is an issue of the Raisa, but the Hashash is only with the Rabbanan? On the level of the Raisa, there is no Hashash. This is a rich discussion in Eben Ezra. Siman Yud Zayin in Eben Ezra is the longest Siman in Shulchan Aruch. All Siman Yud Zayin is about Heter Agunas, and it gives all the gory details of all the cases. He found a dead body, and the head was chopped off, and the legs were chopped off, and he had tefillin, he didn't have tefillin, he was wearing glasses, he was tall and thin and so on. They have every sif after sif is the history of the Jewish people and the gullus, the way they were always killing Jews, and they found a dead body, and the shaila was Hilchas Heter Agunas, that's Siman Yud Zayin. So that's where this discussion is in the Pischei Tshuva. Okay. The Gemara in Perek Bamei Madlikin has a comment on the pasuk in today's Sedra and Vayishlach, that when Vayava Yankiv Shalom Ir Shechem, he comes back from Chutz Laretz and he's a one piece in Shalom B'Tayrosa, in Shalom the children are healthy, everybody's okay, and he has a lot of money, and he's so appreciative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he had a Hatzalah, that he was only afraid that Esav was going to kill him. Everything worked out well. So it says, Vayichanas Pnehuir. He came to the city Shechem, Vayichan, and he gave chen to the city. What way did he give chen to the city? So the Gemara Bama Madlikin has three different suggestions. He did either one or two or three, something he did over here. How did he add chen to the city? So one suggestion is that they never had any bath houses. So he introduced this hygienic institution that the people should take a bath once a year, or twice a year, whatever. Years ago, that wasn't the common practice. The founding fathers, George Washington and so on, they didn't take baths every Arab Shabbos. They would smell, so they would pour on perfume, and then they would smell, so every next they'll pour on more perfume. Once a year, they would take a bath. So Yankov Avinu introduced Bate Merchatzos, that they should be healthier. The other suggestion the Gemara gives, maybe two or three together, the other pshat is he introduced shopping malls. Instead of, I want to buy a tuna fish sandwich, I have to go to him. I want to buy a baim, I have to go to him. I want to buy an automobile, I have to go over there. So he had a shopping mall, they sell everything in the same place. Sure, made life easier. And the third pshat the Gemara gives is, Vayichanas Paner, he introduced a system of coins. That until the days of Yankov Avinu, in Shechem, they were always doing barter. I wanted to buy a behemoth, so I had to give you enough tuna fish sandwiches. I have to give you a machlet parah b'chamor. I have to give you something in exchange. I give you a shoveh kesef, tachas a shoveh kesef. And he introduced the concept of a monetary system, that you don't have to walk around always doing barters at tachazah. You can pay money for it. So the Gemara says that that's the proper thing. When the Rabbanu Shalom gives you an S and he gives you a Yeshua, you should express your gratitude to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam by improving the world, by doing something for mankind. So he introduced some fantastic improvements. And the Gemara assumes that all three are considered positive improvements. To have a shopping mall is a positive improvement. And to have better hygiene, to have a bathhouse. Everybody has their own shower, their own bathtub is even better. But you have to begin with a bathhouse. At least you start with that. And then the monetary system is also considered something positive. So some of the sociologists wrote in recent years, way after the Gemara, some of the sociologists wrote that money is the evil of society, that if there wouldn't be a monetary system, people wouldn't be so hungry for money, and the world would be a nicer place to live in. So it's a terrible thing that we have a monetary system. So the Chazon Ish writes in his Sefer, he thinks that that's not correct. And Hilchos sociology thinks it's not correct, because we have sometimes a din, there are certain mitzvahs that have to be observed dafka with kesef, and show the kesef is not acceptable. Like Pidyon Ma'aser Sheni has to be done only with kesef. You can't fulfill with show the kesef. Machzor Shekel has to be dafka kesef. When you get married, we do kiddush kesef, but we give a ring. So you see, show the kesef is good. When you do Pidyon Ben, you don't necessarily have to give cash. You can give shove a kesef. The Gemara says, talazel pinyin minei, egelzel pinyin minei. Many have the practice in America that they use Israeli government minted coins and use the Israeli coins for pinyin aben. Israeli coins in America are shove a kesef. That's not kesef. Israeli coins in Israel, where it's where it's a legal tender, if the government of your country sponsors that money, if it's legal tender, that is called kesef. But Israeli coins in America is considered shavah kesef. Let's say if you have Maaser Sheni in America, and you bring your Israeli coin back from Israel to America, you can't use the Israeli coin in America. You have to use an American coin. Israeli coins in America is shavah kesef. It's not kesef. It's not legal tender in America. So the Chazon Ish says, from the fact that you have one or two halachas, pidyon Maaser Sheni has to be davka with kesef and not shavah kesef. In Machzor Shekel every year, you have to give Machzor Shekel. And the Yerushalmi, there are two girsas in the Yerushalmi, whether that's a din d'oraisa, a din d'rabbanan. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Tshuvas, he says, he wrote a chibra on Yerushalmi. When he ran away from the communists, he had to leave it behind. That was, he always felt bad about that. That was his life's work, was his chibra on Yerushalmi, and he refers to it. He writes, in my chibra on Yerushalmi, he was mevara that the correct girsa in Yerushalmi should be, that Machzor Shekel, you have to give davka kesh, is a din d'oraisa. It's not a din d'rabbanan. So that's what the Chazon Ish says. If there are certain mitzvahs that can only be fulfilled with kesh, that means that that's the ideal society. The Torah ideal society is that they do have kesh. So it's not questionable whether Yaakov Avinu did a good takana by Yechanes Penehu that he minted coins. No, it's the positive. It was a positive contribution to society. It wasn't a negative thing. Not like the sociologist. Yeah.
We found a video with Avram, but he bought the camera. Avram.
Also Kish. Yeah, that was in Hebron. Yeah, but apparently Shem didn't have in the city Shem. No, behind the times.
But all three things are Gashmiya.
Yes.
I'm surprised nobody suggests anything else.
No. The way they express their gratitude. By doing something in Gashmias. I gave a shiur in Hebron this week. They got me to give a shiur in Yeshiva Shavei Hebron. They learned Tzubis like normal. Yeshiva say Yeshivas.